Welcome to Talking Giants Player Profiles and Projections. Today we've got very key backup, Devontae Booker, running back. 5'11", 219 pounds, 29 years old. Fourth round pick out of Utah by Denver. Spent the last year with the Raiders. Was the first free agent signing of 2021 for the New York Giants. Was Devontae Booker himself with a two-year, $5.5 million contract. And a move that upset a lot of people, but it was very quick for a running back who really didn't, like, garner that contract. But they do have big, like, somewhat big plans for him. In 2020, he had 93 carries, 423 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4.5 yards per catch. 17 catches for 84 yards, not a lot of yards per catch. Essentially, his 2020 was 6 carries and 27 yards a game with 1 catch with it. And honestly, Justin, that's where I think he's going to end up again in 2021 with the Giants.
Yeah, and 6 carries per game, to average that, I feel like is pretty generous. And we talked about that a while back, as you know, we're at least Bobby Skinner and Justin Penick, and we're trying to convince all of you who are listening that Saquon Barkley will at least be eased back to start the season, and hopefully he's ready to rock and roll as the season, you know, goes forth, and hopefully Saquon, that the attempts per game will continue to go up. But yeah, 6 per game's kind of a lot for a backup where Josh Jacobs is the number one, and Josh Jacobs was supposed to be like the workhorse last year. And I did a lot of fantasy football prep, and Jacobs was supposed to be the guy, the workhorse. It was him and Miles Sanders, and of course, you know, Jacobs had a little bit of a better year, but Booker was there and he took up a lot of space. Bobby, Devontae Booker's always going to have somewhat of a sour taste in my mouth because of just the utter reaction that I think we all had that he was the first free agent. But in retrospect, looking back, knowing what we know about Saquon Barkley, it maybe does make sense that it's like, hey, the Giants, they want to get their backup running back and they don't want to be in a John Hillman situation where they just have nobody, or they're relying on a sixer, or they're relying on Gary Brightwell being the guy that's going to help ease Saquon Barkley back, right?
Well, I think they very clearly viewed backup running back as a big need for them, because at that time they knew they were going to ease Saquon back in, where I think myself at the time was like, just freaking work Saquon into the ground, but they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to, you know, wait to the draft, you know, and be like, oh, we'll just, like, you never want to go into the draft and be like, all right, we're going to fill a huge need with a fourth round pick. You know, if you're picking fourth overall, you could be like, okay, like, pretty sure we're going to get the left tackle we want here. But, you know, you don't want to get your backup running, like, going to the draft, like, we have to get our backup running back. And I do think they overpaid for him, but I think it was simply, it's like, we're not going to wait around and look for a bargain deal. We have targeted who we want to be our backup running back. That's Devontae Booker. He does a little bit of everything, and he's the guy we want over Wayne Gallman, who may be better as like a, just as a volume runner, but like Devontae Booker, I think, is a better all-around player than Wayne Gallman.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question to you, kind of like just flat out, who's the better football player? But there is a little bit more of a nuanced question. He looks like you want to say something. Go ahead.
I was never the biggest Wayne Gallman fan. I know, you know, we would joke about Gallmanites and Alfredites. But, you know, for me, the reason I didn't like Wayne Gallman that much is because, and I think this year was kind of proof of it in a sense, where it's like he needs volume to be effective. When he is the backup running back, he's never been effective as that. And that's how he made himself, you know, he was inactive week two when Saquon went down. That's why, you know, Pat Shurmur, the year before, was going to Buck Allen as the backup running back over Wayne Gallman. So Booker is like, I think if you're like, all right, we're just thinking of giving this guy 16 carries a game, Booker versus Gallman, I probably would go Gallman. But Booker, when you add in the blocking, the him not needing volume, and you could throw in special teams in there. I don't know how good a special teams is. I just know he's done it a lot. I would much rather take Booker at a contract that, if we signed Wayne Gallman to a two-year, $5.5 million deal as when free agency started, I think a lot of people would have been praising that deal. I wouldn't have, to be honest, but a lot of people would have been.
You know, I definitely would not have been, because Wayne Gallman doesn't offer you much. You know, he offers you much as a volume guy. But let's do a little bit of comparison to Devontae Booker and Wayne Gallman, because at least as runners with the ball in their hands in rushing attempts, they're kind of similar running backs, and they kind of had like a similar year when it comes to like the advanced metrics. So yards per carry was 4.5 for Booker, and you know, Wayne Gallman was 4.6, so similar there. Average time behind the line of scrimmage. I was praising Wayne Gallman last year as, you know, even though this offensive line is, you know, it got better in terms of the run blocking unit throughout the year, but offensive line wasn't all that fantastic last year. So what you need to do as a running back when you get the ball, just go forward. Try to fall forward, go forward, get your 4 yards per carry, and that's what Wayne Gallman certainly did. And I praise the average time behind the line of scrimmage for Wayne Gallman, 2.51 seconds, was like the second quickest in the National Football League. Guess who was quickest, Bobby Skinner, Devontae Booker. He spent 2.5 seconds average time behind the line of scrimmage. Now, the big difference, the two big difference, and why I think Wayne Gallman's a little bit better of a runner than Devontae Booker's because of these two stats. 8-plus defenders in the box. Devontae Booker only saw 8-plus defenders in the box 17% of the time versus Wayne Gallman saw 8-plus defenders in the box 40% of the time, which, hey, if there's a stat the Giants need to improve at, it's let's not have 8-plus men in the box 40% of the time this year, because I think teams just didn't respect the Giants' ability to throw the ball deep because they didn't do it enough, but that's a different conversation for another day. And the yards after the contact, the fact that Devontae Booker had 8-plus defenders in the box, probably at an average rate, and he only got 2 yards after contact per attempt, where Wayne Gallman, they were stacking the box on him almost every attempt, and Wayne Gallman was averaging 2.5 yards after contact per attempt. So, yeah, there you go. There's some advanced stats for you.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think as runners, like, they're both not going to dance behind the line of scrimmage. They know where they want to go. They hit cutbacks very similar, where it's like, okay, you know, maybe if I let this play develop, I can get out on the edge. Like, they're never trying to get out on the corner unless it's a very, like, developed, we're getting this outside on the edge. He's going to run through arm tackles. I think Gallman, like you, and you mentioned it with the stats, is more of like, I'm pushing this pile, where Booker's more just kind of running through the arm tackles. But at the same time, I think Booker's got a little more juke to him. Nothing crazy. He's not going to juke anybody out of his shoes, but he's got a little bit like of a better cut, I think, sometimes. At the same time, not going to burn anybody. He's not a speedster. But I really think it comes down to is Devontae Booker can get those 20-plus, you know, rushing yards like without needing 16 carries in a game. Like, there's going to be a game where Devontae Booker gets 4 carries and one of those is going to be a 24, 25-yarder, where with Wayne Gallman, that almost never happened.
Yeah, I'm trying to look right now. I have it kind of in front of me here, where most of Devontae Booker's 20-plus yard rushes last year were coming from, like, through the right guard. And he actually was pretty good running outside the tackles as well. So I don't know if the Giants want to run maybe a little bit more outside zone. He did have 9 attempts going outside the tackle last year, and he averaged, like, 7.2 yards per carry. And he also had 1 carry going outside the left tackle, and I believe that went for 15 yards. But the most explosive plays in terms of 10-plus yards, I don't know if I probably said 20-plus yards. The most explosive plays that he had, 10-plus yards, came from going through the right guard. And when he ran past the right guard, he averaged about 5.6 yards per carry. And similar to Saquon Barkley, Booker does have more of a tendency to be better when he's rushing to his right than to his left. And I need to find out if that's like just a trend among all running backs, because if you're carrying the ball with your right hand, you have the left hand to stiff arm. That's at least my theory. Stiff arm, it's easier for you to fall forward when you have the defender kind of crashing on you on your non-ball carrying side. So, hey, he's better running to his right. So, hey, you know, Matt Parrott, Will Hernandez, get ready to rock and roll. And whenever the play's going to the left, Shane Lemieux, Andrew Thomas, you got to maul some guys a little bit more.
For sure. Yeah, so as a runner, he's solid enough. As a receiver, capable but not anything special. In fact, you could probably make an argument that Corey Clement, who, you know, is my favorite to win running back 3, is probably a better receiver. So nothing special as a receiver. But where I will say, it's like, he's a pretty good blocker. You know, like, it's hard to find a ton of blocking reps, but I did find as much as I could. When I did his film breakdown when they signed him, it's like, and he did a good job mentally and physically. Like, physically, he was able to hold up blocks, and mentally, like, picking up some blitzes. And, you know, with Saquon, I think it's more mental than physical with Saquon, you know? Like, you'll remember the clip of Jamal Adams pushing him back. But it's like, most of Saquon's really big gaffes in the blocking game were mental. Like, that one, like, Pittsburgh, his issues were clearly mental, not physical.
Yeah, out of 23, I believe, I mean, PFF only tacked 23 pass-blocking reps that Devontae Booker had this past year. That's probably wrong. I guess it's not. He only allowed one sack and one pressure. So that's pretty darn good right there. So if Booker, especially early in the year, you know, step in for Saquon on passing downs, and that's maybe those are the reps that he can alleviate, even though that wasn't really the trends that Booker had for Las Vegas last year. He was mostly a first and a second down back, and I guess Jacobs, who was their number one back, he would mostly be in for the third downs because he was a receiving option as well. But maybe the Giants can reverse the trends a little bit, and they can have him as a third down back because of his good blocking ability.
Only when we need him to block, though.
Correct.
I want our running back running routes.
Yep.
Routes. Also, Wayne Gallman, this has also become a bash Wayne Gallman PPP unintentionally, but Wayne Gallman gave up a few sacks last year, too.
Tough.
Arizona, Baltimore, too. That came out to my mind. I'm sure there was maybe one or two others.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy how backup, even Deion Lewis, like they just, you talked about all the time and you were dumbfounded about how our backup running backs just allowed, or running backs in general, a backside defenders to just come like a bat out of hell and just nail Daniel Jones and kill him.
There you go, Coach Colombo. Actually, I'm not going to blame that one on Mark Colombo. 533 special team snaps in the last four seasons, 30 kick returns. He's not going to blow you away as a returner, but he's going to play a special team. So people will tell you he's good at special teams. I don't believe that anyone actually watches special team snaps. But, hey, maybe he is, maybe he's not. Anything else on Devontae Booker?
Grind that special teams film, everybody. Do it.
I don't think I've ever really, like, all right, let me watch the special teams snap.
Skip
like, even
it
the Joe
play.
Judge report, I skip through it, and I know it makes people mad, but it's like, I really got no use for this. This does not add to the Talking Giants podcast at all.
No.
All right.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa.
We've got the captain of the defense. Team captain, too. Blake Martinez, 6'2", 237 pounds, 27 years old. He's actually on the COVID list right now, which is, you know, this is a Thursday podcast. So he's missing practice right now on the COVID list. We're not going to talk too much about that. Signed a three-year, $30 million contract in 2020. Restructured it this offseason. So for 2021, he has a $6.7 million cap hit. Next year has a $14 million cap hit with a $5.5 million dead cap. I think they're going to want to extend Blake Martinez after this season. We'll see how, you know, when they prioritize it. But man, Blake came in with some high expectations with a big contract. A lot of people weren't a big fan of him. And I can you find me a Giants fan who's like, man, Blake Martinez did not like there's you can't find anyone who say he didn't live up to his contract and then some.
You know, that's been my worst take. You probably can go through the treasure chest of all the takes that I've had since 2018. And I honestly think the reaction to Blake Martinez and mentioning his name in the same sentence as Alec Ogletree is the low point of my content life. And I'll be real. I'll say it right now. I'll put it out there. Say it with my chest.
I think everyone should just go harass Justin right now. How dare he?
Yeah.
How dare he have a negative opinion? No, I know.
That was a terrible, terrible take. It was a terrible take.
But anyways, Blake Martinez had 151 tackles, 9 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks, 1 interception, 6 QB hits. I mean, a little bit and a lot of bit of everything in a sense. 600 tackles over the last 4 years, was 4th in the NFL in total tackles in 2020. And that's the thing, is that was a narrative around Blake was like, oh, he just has a bunch of tackles, but there are 6-7 yards down the field. And that just wasn't true. And I really do think he did get better, but part of it was being back paired with Patrick Graham, who he worked with in Green Bay, and they must have had a great, it seemed they have a really good relationship. And playing behind this defensive line, the New York Giants, does make it a little easier for linebacker play. But at the same time, linebackers sucked before Blake, so it's not just, oh, the D-line's good, so the linebackers are good. Man, he's a captain of the defense. He knows where to be. He knows where everyone else has to be. And he's usually not too early, and he's usually not too late. Like, he's just kind of like that prototypical linebacker that we think of like the early 2000s and 90s, but he's doing it in 2021 and doing it well.
Best Giants linebacker since Antonio Pierce, and I'm not gonna I was going to say, I'm not going to be the one to sit here and argue that he's better than Antonio Pierce, but I know you will. I mean, he was third in the NFL in defensive stops last year, and that's a PFF metric that basically measures how often a defensive player produces a negative offensive play. So I don't even think it needs to be like a loss, you know, a loss in terms of a negative, like negative
0 yards, 1 yard loss. That's like, you know.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, third in the NFL in defensive stops, you know, Blake Martinez. And we know that he's a tackling machine and, you know, great feel for the game, you know, are some of the notes that I have. Bobby, I think he also forced 4 turnovers last year?
3 sacks. I think he forced a fumble versus Tampa.
Fumble versus Tampa.
Or 1 interception. He forced a fumble. So that means he would have 3 forced fumbles. I can't believe I didn't write that down.
Yeah, he forced a fumble against Washington. Remember, like, he chased somebody? They were going down the left sideline, and he forced a fumble. And that ball bounced for like 20 yards, and nobody could fall on it. Hey, but the Giants fell on it. Giants were actually, I think, pretty fortunate with their forced fumbles last year.
And 1 fumble forced fumbles recovery, and 2 interceptions. And then an interception, so that comes out to 4.
There you go. So, first 4 turnovers last year, and that's pretty big. And, Bobby, you know, we could talk more about his game. But you know what? I'm just going to come out and say it. There's 17 games, and this is Blake Martinez's second year with the New York Football Giants. Donald Tomlinson left. I am expecting more out of Blake Martinez. And why I put him in under the same breath as Dalvin Tomlinson is Dalvin was part of the reason why, you know, this isn't a knock on Blake Martinez, but Dalvin being as good as he was is part of the reason why Blake is as good as he was. It's a team game, and everybody benefits from everybody being good. But I'm kind of expecting more of this year from Blake Martinez, and I think that's kind of crazy. I'm expecting an all-pro year.
Another all-pro year? Because my man got snubbed. He got snubbed at Pro Bowl. He got snubbed at all-pro. The Pokemon King. He really did get snubbed. But let's talk about how he can do that. Like, he plays with the right mix of aggression and patience. Like, it really is beautiful. And you just see him, like, you know, go through blocks. Like, he just navigates his way through traffic. Cause, like, we haven't really seen that from a Giants linebacker in forever.
No.
And something we noticed, you know, probably around the Rams game, and then we, like, really were looking out for, like, man, they got him aligned pretty far back, you know? Like, they're not playing him, like, up close to the line of scrimmage. They're letting him play back.
7 yards.
Yeah, 7 yards, which is allowing him to play in coverage. And again, you know, it's how everything works, where, you know, you had Dalvin, Leo, and Dex playing the run, so it allows those guys to play. But even playing that far back, he was coming up at the line of scrimmage, making hits, stopping guys. You know, and what's awesome is Blake set the tone from week one against Pittsburgh. Like, that Pittsburgh game, like, man, this is real deal. This is what it's like to have good linebacker play. We haven't seen this in a long time. So he's just got, like, that right mix of aggression. And then in other facets of the pass rusher. 3 sacks, 6 QB hits. You know, they would use him as, you know, just line up in the A-gap and blitz, and he did well doing that. And then they would have those third down plays where they would have Blake Martinez, Leonard Williams, an edge player, and you know, one other player. And they would do different types of stunts, popping out, you know, would have Blake popping, and just did well in that, like, you know, everyone playing their role right, setting other guys up for plays, whether it was a Jabril Peppers sack or whatnot. So it was just like, and we can talk about coverage in a second. It's like everything that they asked Blake to do, he was good at. Whether it was coverage, whether it was, you know, pass rushing, or just playing the run, which he's known the most for.
Yeah, we talked about it with Tate Crowder yesterday, but part of where I feel like Tate Crowder learned not getting washed out in the run game is from Blake Martinez being patient. And we knew that coming in. We knew that Blake Martinez, no matter, you know, how people thought of him as a player, no matter how suspect, you know, maybe it was at the time, we knew at the time, like, hey, Blake Martinez is not going to be as bad as Alec Ogletree, he's going to have that combination of being patient, not getting washed out, but then also being aggressive when he needs to be. But in terms of him as a blitzer, how Blake Martinez, I think, can be more effective this year. And I actually want double-digit QB hits this year. Sacks, I'm not going to, you know, say I want 5 sacks. I think that's kind of crazy. That's kind of insane. But I'm looking for double-digit QB hits this year because I'm thinking that Patrick Graham's going to be a little bit more aggressive this year. But where Blake Martinez is so instinctual and smart is that if, let's just say, he's playing man-on-man with the running back in the backfield, and that running back in the backfield is just staying there to pass block, he recognizes right away that, oh, this guy isn't going anywhere. I'm going to come in like a bat out of hell and try to get the sack on the quarterback. That's how the sack happened against Andy Dalton. The biggest highlight play that I think he had was the sack against Mullins, where he gets up and he does the, you know, the Zeke Elliott, you know, eating the bowl of cereal, whatever. That play is based off of, hey, he's recognizing early that it's play action and that he doesn't really have an exact assignment, so he's going to go in. He sees an open lane like a bat out of hell, and he's going to get the sack on the quarterback. So it's not just scheme. It's him being instinctual, smart, and also being quick to react, which also translates to him in pass coverage, which I'll let you talk about next.
Well, let's talk about coverage. You know, he, like, a knock on him coming out, I was like, man, this guy, he sucks in coverage. Do we ever remember a play where Blake gave up, like, a big play in coverage?
No.
Like, you know, and you know, like, if you ask me about, now, obviously James Bradbury plays corner, so it's different. But it's like, I can remember plays where it's like, oh, Bradbury got caught on a pick versus Juju Smith-Schuster, and they got him on a touchdown on a crosser. Like, I can remember, you know, like, DK Metcalf got him on this play. Like, I can remember some of those plays. With Blake, I just don't remember any. But what I do remember is him understanding it. And, you know, the James Bradbury interception versus Kyle Allen, a lot of that was Blake Martinez. He played the underneath route the correct way, and he played it quick and played it aggressively. And then when he was playing over, like, you know, when he was playing back and playing that curl hook or you know, the Logan Ryan interception versus Washington and the next week, Blake, you know, getting back, getting depth and doing that. And that's without a good pass rush. Like, the defense did not have good pass rush ability. And Blake Martinez was never a liability, which, I mean, middle linebackers have screwed us over the years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it was Alec Ogletree, whether just whoever was out there, it was like, man, that middle part of the field between the linebackers and safeties was just would get attacked at times, especially it seemed like when we were playing Dallas. So, I mean, it seems like we're saying this with every facet of his games, but he just understands what's going on at every time, and he's just a step ahead of the offense at all moments of a game.
Yeah. You know, and I was even watching a little bit of a film breakdown that Sean O'Hara did of, you know, of Blake, and, you know, the offense knows where to go, and Blake Martinez does not know where the offense is headed, and that is why, you know, playing defense is so tough, where you have to read and react, especially at linebacker. I will say Patrick Graham, this is where Patrick Graham really comes in and helps, because I think Patrick Graham put him in ideal situations where you're covering the men in your zone, and he's not playing man coverage. You know, he's not being asked to chase down a running back, a speedy running back, and keep up with the speeding running back. You know, he's being asked to cover the men in his zone, and because of how instinctual he is, I think that's why he does such a good job, and he does such a great job diagnosing play action too. And doing that in today's NFL is so, so important, because, you know, we played the Rams last year, we got the Rams again on our schedule this year, and the Rams, like, for the past 4 or 5 years, have run the most play action in the National Football League at the highest rate. So diagnosing play action and seeing, like, oh, this tight end, he's not staying in here to block. This wide receiver, you know, he's already starting to run around. You know, the offensive lineman may look like they're pass blocking, but Blake Martinez is able to see, be patient, diagnose what's happening in front of him, and then react from there. And he made some nice plays on Cooper Kupp in the middle of the field, one-on-one situations, wrapping up, nice tackle. And, you know, Cooper Kupp isn't the most elusive guy in the world, you know, anybody in that Rams offense is still pretty difficult to bring down in the open field. So, yeah. Yeah, I want more. I want more, though.
Yeah, you mentioned coaching and Patrick Graham and how that benefited him. And honestly, when we signed him and we went and watched his film, I mean, I would get so mad at the Green Bay's defensive coordinator. It's like, what are you guys doing? It's like, you guys are asking this guy to do everything and giving him no help. It's like, you guys are playing the 49ers. They're running a fullback and two tight ends. And you got Adrian Amos next to him playing the second inside linebacker. Like, what are you guys doing? You know, you know, you look at his coverage numbers, there's an 80-yard touchdown catch versus the Vikings. It's like, well, they put him on man coverage with a slot receiver on a drag that he stops on a dime and turns around. It's like, well, yeah, I don't expect any linebacker to stick with him. And maybe we're talking like an Isaiah Simmons type athlete. So, Blake, very happy he's a part of this team. I hope they do figure out some type of contract extension at the end of this year. But like you said, do more. Do more, boss. You are the captain of the team. Be an all-pro. Be a beast. And you know what? If we make the playoffs, a lot more people are going to be putting respect on Blake Martinez's name.
He's going to break 165 tackles this year. The best in his career. And this is total tackles, not solo. Total tackles was 155, and that was in 2019. He's obviously going to break that this year, but the question is just by how much.
Do it. 250 tackles this year for Blake Martinez. All right. Appreciate you guys. See you on the next one. Until then, let's go Big Blue.